Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Before COVID-19 lockdown, you likely had planned your calendar months in advance. And for me anyway, I knew what I was going to be doing this month, next month, and even 2 or 3 months down the line, especially in March when lockdown hit. Everyone, you know, we plan our lives out nowadays just for much, much longer periods of time. And for those plans to have been erased, I look at my calendar and it's empty, and just we don't know when things will start to return to a sense of normality in our eyes. So today, our next guest is going to speak to us on the theme, how to think about what's next when the future is unclear. So on the line now to tell us more, we have Pastor Pat Fitzgerald from All Hallows Campus Dublin. You're very welcome to the show, Pastor Pat.
Thanks, Dom. Thank you very much, sir.
No problem. Absolute pleasure to have you on, as always. First of all, Pat, it's really a time like no other, because to have this much uncertainty and for a nation to have so many plans put on hold, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, never walked with others before, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's a time to, well, for us, for me personally, I decided from the get-go, take every day as each day has been given to us, rather than looking too far ahead. So what we did was each day, we planned out every day exactly the way it should run for us as a family and as myself personally, you know? So I think, for me personally, I plan every day, even regardless of COVID-19. Do you know what I mean? So that's what we did. We didn't look too far ahead. We concentrated on each day specifically and put a program in place for each day. That's what we did. And it has really worked for us as a family. And personally, it's really worked for me as well, you know?
Well, that's great, yeah. And I suppose that's great in a daily level. But for people, you know, looking forward, just with all the plans have been gone, you see, in a society over the last decade or so, we've led really, really increasingly busy lives. And so what have you been learning from this time of an increased rest and a time out maybe from those advanced plans?
Well, to be honest, I have really found this time very, very beneficial.
Mm.
And for me personally, I have almost reset everything. I've changed my lifestyle at every level. I just thought this is a great time to reset everything. And so from a spiritual point of view, I reset everything. From a physical point of view, I reset everything. From a mindset, I reset everything. I began just to change my whole way of living at this time. I really have, and it has really benefited me greatly. I'll be honest, I've really, really, this probably sounds crazy, but I've really enjoyed this time. See, for me personally, I've taken this time as a blessing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than seeing all the, you know, the isolation, the limitation, the restrictions, you know, I just thought, okay, this is where we find ourselves. So what do we do in all of this situation? So for me personally, I've taken up a new physical exercise. I've taken up reading. I've taken up walking. I've spent more time with my children, more time with my wife. So for me, it's been very beneficial, really beneficial, and very productive as well. Very productive for me personally. I feel better now than I did when I came into it.
Well, it's great, because I think so many people, just like you said there, it's become a time of introspection, you know, and maybe a time to look over your life and just find areas of your life maybe that need improvement. Just because, you know, in all the hustle and bustle in regular life, when you're doing things for other people with maybe your job or your sports or your societies, you can lose touch of where you're at yourself. So I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there.
Well, you as you say, you know, you sit back and then you begin to really value what really needs to be valued.
Mm.
And for me, you know, personally, and a few other friends have said to me, is that they've realized certain things that they were valuing had no value at all, and that they've realized that they've changed their value system.
Mm.
Like, and, you know, a lot of friends are saying they're spending more time with their children, more time with their spouses, more time reading books. So they've realized that this time has really, really, really reset everything in their lives. And what they're saying to me is that even when we go back to normal, we're going to continue with this in place, you know.
Mm. Yeah, it's almost like kind of I think of it as a glorified New Year's resolution in some way, because we've had so much more time to think about it, you know.
Well, you know yourself, it takes 17 days to break a habit and form a new habit. So we've been in this nearly for 4 months.
Yeah.
So I think what people are doing is forming new habits because of their placing their values and their value system in a different way now. So I think for most of my friends, I mean, they've realised that this time has been very, very beneficial, and that they've had a chance to restart their lives. I know this sounds nuts, but they've had a chance to reset their lives. That's like, you know, and so for me, I think that's fantastic, you know.
That makes sense to me for sure. Definitely does. So, Pat, just going maybe towards some advice that maybe you'd give, particularly maybe to young people, because there's major life moments and for some of them, life-changing moments, and they're looking unclear right now, such as CAO points and what their first year of college might look like if it's online instead of on lectures. It just, these expectations have just been changed so dramatically. Would you have any advice for them?
Well, I've got a daughter, 19-year-old, so she's in college, and we sat down and had a good chat about things. So what I said to her was, and I hope this helps all the young people, is, okay, this is where you find yourself, so you have to learn to be creative and be productive, regardless of what's in front of you, regardless of what the education board say, regardless of what way this is all going to work out for you. Even in all of that, I said to her was, listen, you still have to be creative and you still have to be productive. No point in sitting here waiting on someone to tell you exactly what you need to do with your life. So I said, at this point, is you have all the time now to set in stone, to set in motion for whatever comes, whatever they say, whatever that they plan out for you. You've got to now start being creative and be productive before that comes in on your lap. So in other words, I'm telling her, you need to get out, maybe go online, do a new course, do this, do that. Try different things that you've never tried before. And I said to her, I said, and if they say it's all online, embrace it.
Yeah.
Rather than fighting against it, embrace it. This is where you find yourself now. So embrace the situation. There's no point in complaining. There's no point in giving out. This is where you're finding yourself. So embrace the situation and be brilliant in that situation. And that's what I say to young people. Stop complaining. Stop whinging. Stop giving out. This is where you find yourself. So embrace where you find yourself and use it to be productive and use it to be creative. That's what I'm saying to them all the time. Rather than looking at the negative, take it as a positive. Do you know what I mean?
I really like that, I have to say, because, you know, we've been thrown into a situation in which we have so little control, and less control than we're used to, for sure. So I think that really resonates with me as well. And
but you have to understand, you're thrown into a situation where you feel out of control, right?
Mm.
But you're allowing the situation around you to control your life.
Yeah.
Which you shouldn't, because you're in control of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what you face, you're still in control. You understand?
Yeah.
You're still in control because you're the one that's in control there. So no matter what you face, you know, hardship usually produces greater things anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where pressure is applied, it usually brings the best out in you. So this situation can bring the best out in you rather than bringing the negative out in you. You can say, okay, how am I going to change in this situation? How am I going to be productive and creative in this situation? Because life up to now was very easy for people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very easy. And I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And in them days, there was no jobs. So you had to be creative. You found yourself where there was no employment and, you know, things weren't as good as they were, have been here. So you learn to adapt. You learn to be productive and creative, even in those days. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But these days are days where you, as a young person, can really set in mind. And it's all down to mindset, to be honest with you. You know, your mindset controls your life, not the circumstances around you.
Well, Pat,
that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. Definitely advice I can take on board. And I'm sure many, many young people, like we said, on board as well. It's fantastic. And I guess, I suppose, as an offset to that, not as an offset, as an offshoot to that, could you chat to us maybe about the importance of putting trust in God every day?
Oh, yeah. Well, Proverbs chapter 3, it's one of my favourite verses. Chapter 3, verse 4, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord in all, trust in the Lord, lean not in any of your ways, and just trust in Him. So in other words, trust God and lean not on your own understanding. This is where faith really kicks in, going. It's easy to operate in faith when things are going great. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's harder when things are not going the way you deem them to go. So therefore, you've got to step into a place spiritually and say, you know, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge you because, you know what, Lord, you're in control of my life. So you will direct my path. The Bible says that God directs the path to the righteous. So therefore, this hasn't caught God by chance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
God's not surprised with this situation. So the Bible says He knows the beginning and the end. So He knows everything. He has everything mapped out for your life. Everything. Every day He has it all mapped out. Every minute, every second, every hour He has it all mapped out. All you have to do is lean into Him and allow Him to direct you and guide you and show you the way you should go. Which sounds easy in theory, but in practice it's different because all of a sudden you hear this, you see this, and all of a sudden you feel shaky. It's in those shaky moments that the grace of God will just carry you through and enable you. It's like that old thing, you know, that poem, Footprints. When your man says, Lord, I only saw one set of footprints in the sand, and the Lord says, it was them I carried you. So God can carry you through this, and as you just lean and don't don't, we see at the end of the day, we can't lean on our own understanding here now, because it's way beyond us. We're facing things that we've never faced. But the best thing to do is, you know what, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you regardless of what I see in front of me, because you have my interest at heart. And that brings great peace and solid. And serenity. It really does, you know. Really, really does.
Well, I think, Pat, on that fantastic note, I think I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for talking to us. Really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. And have a super, super weekend.
You too, Pat. See you now.
Bless you, buddy. Take care. Bye-bye.
So giving us that great little bit of advice and that bit of scripture there was Pastor Pat Fitzgerald from All Hallows Campus, Dublin. And we thank him so much for talking to us today and giving us that little bit more, I suppose, solitude as we look at the next few months and what they might look like. Spirit. Our next guest is going to speak to us about our physical well-being and how God, our Creator, is interested and cares for us and our total health. And that includes, of course, our fitness. So as we start into the summer and the warmer weather, it's a good time to reflect on this and what adjustments we can make in our daily routines to keep ourselves fit and healthy. So on the line to tell us more, we have fitness professional and instructor Sheila O'Sullivan of Pro Tempo. You're very welcome to the show, Sheila.
Thank you, Donal. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thank you for coming on. First of all, Sheila, God's given each of us a unique body. Could you chat to us maybe about the responsibility that we have to care for our bodies?
Sure. I have this analogy that often I use in a strength training program that I do, and I compare the body to a car. Now, thank God we're a lot more complex and wonderful, better than cars, but we do look after our cars, some people more than others. So the engine and the workings of the car are really equated with our heart, lungs, our organs, how our body, our health functions, unbeknownst to us at times, because, you know, we're not always aware of the heartbeat and all that's happening inside of us. And then the outside, or the chassis, is the car that, you know, we clean and we take care of and we avoid bumping it, etc. So the muscles and the ligaments and the part of our body that we have control over, as a sense, that's, we look after that. So in one sense, whatever your worldview about how we came to be, I believe we're created, we all have a responsibility to look after our bodies and to take care of ourselves. So so therefore we get to know, as we do with our car, what do we do to kind of make sure that we look, like the NCT takes care of a lot of our cars, but we have to be proactive and say, okay, I need strength, I need cardiovascular fitness for my systemic fitness, I need to be relatively flexible and mobile to get on with my day, to do the tasks that I do, whether it be fairly ordinary things, but some people have far more requirements of their bodies. So yeah, so we have responsibility uniquely, and each of us are different. Some of us have more things that kind of might restrict us because of things that we've been born with, etc. But it's amazing what we can do even when we're restricted. Yeah, our bodies are, we are definitely wonderfully and amazingly created by our Creator, for sure.
Sure, yeah, and we have that responsibility for sure to take care of ourselves. And with lockdown, it seems like a great time to maybe reassess our fitness and to look at our exercise habits. Well, I know it has been for myself anyway. And fitness routines. So what fitness routines have you been working on to maintain a level of fitness during lockdown? Because it is hard to keep that routine going.
It is. In fact, I spoke to a fitness friend last night. We were chatting, and she said, oh, I've just dropped a few things. I really miss the gym, because she's a regular gym goer. Mm-hmm. But she's created her own programming at home, and she does walking to look like myself. When you're just your own personal motivator, it really can be hard. So, yeah, I've been maintaining, and that's the good news, that if you are in habit, you will continue your habit, even if the habit lessens a little bit. So I started off with a lot of running, and I was running, and I was enjoying it. I actually ended up getting a little bit of an injury in my foot, so I began to ease up on my running. But I replaced it, like I didn't, you know, okay, I missed it, because I got to love running, and that was one thing that I didn't enjoy as much pre-lockdown, which is interesting, but I was running on grass, and a field was nice. But then I cycle every day in my local area, and I'm blessed to be within a beach of 5 kilometers, so I cycle to the beach when the weather's been lovely. And when you're on the beach, like, you will do more. Like, if I was to walk for an hour around my block, I probably wouldn't do it, but I would walk on the beach for an hour easily on my bare feet with that fantastic weather. But even without the good weather, I
wouldn't be able to do that on my beach now, I have to say.
Oh, there you go. You don't have enough sand. We're blessed in the north side here with lovely beaches. Now, and again, I'm unique to that because not everybody will have a beach, but a lot of people have parks. So walking in a park seems a lot nicer and one could go a little longer. So yeah, in terms of moving outdoors, it's so much better if we can get out and run and walk and cycle. Indoors, I've been doing some activity as well because strength is a really important component of our fitness that we really can lose a lot of as we get older. It is one area that kind of deteriorates more quickly in some ways than cardiovascular fitness, I would say. So you almost have to, I need to assign myself some things that I enjoy that keep my strength up, like squats are amazing, and there's a squat challenge that I haven't started yet, but something that I just heard from my friend last night. And basically, it's a squat challenge, a 30-day squat challenge. So you start off today and you do 50 squats. And not everybody can do 50, so maybe you start with 10 or whatever. And then you put 5 on every day for 3 days, and then you take a rest, and then you put 5 on. So by 6 days, you're doing 75 squats, and then by the end, you're a month.
So there are these challenges maybe that we can do to maybe maintain routine and things like that, for sure.
Absolutely, to keep strong, yeah.
That's
and
great.
To keep flexible as well, to get your stretching in as well. So your flexibility, strength, and cardiovascular would be kind of the three things that you want to strengthen, endurance, kind of keep on top of to some extent with your upper body, lower body.
Yeah.
And your core strength, of course, as well. Yeah.
So I guess it's not really a question that people, you know, ask that often or say, but are there any Bible verses maybe that indicate that God is interested in our physical well-being and our health?
Well, thanks for asking that, because, Donald, I became a PE teacher many years ago, and I was always interested in fitness because I was playing sports. And when I got to know the Bible, at the point I didn't have a huge knowledge of the Bible, I was really interested in finding out Bible verses that related to that. And the first one I found that is so cool is it's in 1 Timothy 4:8, and it says, exercise daily in God, or physical exercise, bodily exercise, physical exercise, or exercise in the gym, in some versions says, is profitable and really good. Godliness is more profitable because it prepares you for the life to come. So there's this lovely distinction between, you know what, God says, you know, exercise, keep fit, keep well, keep healthy in this tent of temporary dwelling I've given to you, in this body, this temple of the Holy Spirit. That's another verse. But this, in this Timothy verse, it does promote you, or it does encourage us to move our bodies, exercise our bodies, take care of our bodies. God wants us to do that, I believe, from that understanding. So, and it also refers to disciplined life in God. So there's something wonderful, and all the physically fit people out there listening, you know, those who go for a run regularly and you're in habit, you know the discipline it involves, and it really can help you in other areas of and discipline in our other aspects of our lives, such as spiritual disciplines and mental disciplines, etc. So that's one verse that I really enjoy.
Well, that's great. And just, I guess, if you could maybe chat to us about the overall health benefits of even a small amount of exercise, because I know there are some people who, you know, they have busy days, and especially maybe coming more out of lockdown, you know, phase two just starting on Monday, people are just, they find it hard to fit in even that small amount of exercise. So what are the benefits of just, you know, making that time to get that body moving?
Great. I love to answer that one. And I just want to start off with telling you about a study that was done for people over 65. So maybe to just that group, and all of us could fit into it to some extent. But, you know, there was a study done on cognitive decline in that age group, and then they that walk. So a 6-year study showed that the more physically active people, the more physically active women had the least cognitive decline. So to fit something in, it's like if I go out for my walk every day, or my activity, or do something, and especially with lockdown, people can vary their time, but it's wonderful because it means, hey, you know, if I get out now, even if it's raining, I'll put on my rain gear, I'm going to get all these benefits. So I just thought that one was really interesting. Everybody wants us to be cognitive. We don't want to get Alzheimer's as we get older, you know. So if exercise is going to contribute to that, that itself is something to, hey, go for it. So I think sometimes we just need, well, why am I doing this? And, you know, is it benefiting me? Because at the time, you mightn't really think it's benefiting me. Although I think most people, when you get out and do it, you'll feel better. So there's all kinds of I suppose, reasons why you'll put it in there every day. You'll just want to do it. It'll become, as I say, the irresistible part of your daily routine. Like, everybody can think of things that they find they do every day that they love. Even in lockdown, it's like, or reading a book, or making a jigsaw, or watching something, or listening to some good teaching. They do it, and then, so can we fit movement into that category of, I will not get through it, I will not have a day that I will not do something for my body, to honour my body, honour God as well.
That would be great if we could do that. And I guess, like, you do sometimes get into a routine where it becomes, like you said, an essential part of your day and a piece of, part of your day that you look forward to. But in getting there, it can be difficult sometimes, you know, to just get that as a part of your routine. So I suppose my next question is if you have any tips for approaching fitness and exercise that can help you keep motivated to do that.
Well, again, especially, like, here's one of the things I think is people who have partners or husbands, but, you know, like, who can actually work out together, that is kind of great because one will motivate the other. So that can really be important, that another person gets the other person to go. If you're on your own, you know, give yourself slack as well, because as you said earlier in the day, the weather is very attractive. To go out and move is so much nicer in the sunshine. But give yourself some rewards as well. Like, that, I find that if I work out really hard, I just give myself a nice meal, or I look forward to a treat. There's something, like, I had my first takeaway coffee recently. You know, I hadn't had coffee for ages. So, and part of that was cycling to someplace, meeting a friend, and going for a coffee. You know, there's that lovely thing of just give yourself a bit of a treat, having done a bit of a workout. So, Then I think the habit is the key part, that you don't mind pushing through your exercise because you're just used to it. So for a lot of people, you're right, it's hard for them to, oh my God, I don't even have the desire to move my body, you know, because I'm not an exercise person. But once they form the habit, it's something that they will want to continue, because they will realize, we will realize the benefits for it. So
that's great.
There's a number of things we can do.
And I guess, just before I let you go, Sheila, could you remind us about your flow classes and how you combine scripture with exercise?
Oh, okay. Thank you. I do these, I do a flow class, which primarily is a stretch, strength type of class, and mobility as well. So what I've done in about 2015-16, I was doing a lot of study in the Bible from a Hebrew perspective and understanding the words, and I began to think about exercise and putting the words together with the movement. So what I do, like, I might have a theme in a class where we would do the armor of God in Ephesians 6, which speaks about, you know, put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girded with truth. And what we would do in the movement is we would do movements that simulate having something on your head to protect your head and your mindset and keep your minds filled with good things. So we would do neck and head exercises. For the breastplate of righteousness, we would do press-ups and chest exercises. For the sword of the Spirit, we would stretch and hold the sword in the air and wield the sword. And using the Word of God, we would think of the Word of God. And then girding your loins would be focused on truth. And we would, and I would have interaction with the group in the class. Like, we would talk about a Bible verse and focus on it. And so, yeah, just incorporating thoughts about God and His Word, which is so powerful, into the exercise class. And in the meditation at the end, then would be on something like Shalom, which would be wholeness and wellness. And yeah, so fitting it all into the class is really cool because it's a mind, body, spirit activity. Then, yeah.
That sounds great, Sheila. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you. Lovely to chat to all the best.
Bye bye. Bye now. So that was fitness professional and instructor Sheila O'Sullivan of Pro Tempo, and you can see more about what Sheila does at www.protempo.ie. Spirit. With the recent heat wave comes the start of barbecue smells coming from people's back gardens. Now, unfortunately, the rain and the cold has kind of started to set in, so it might be tricky maybe to get that barbecue going. But I'm so delighted that our next guest is on the line to chat about all things barbecue, and he is going to give us some barbecue ideas. And we have Carl Clark, better known as Charlo the Chef. Charlo, you're very welcome to the show.
Top of the morning to you, Donald. Let's get this barbecue party started.
Brilliant. Let's go, Charlo. All right, what are you doing for us?
Well, no, I suppose I'm delighted to be on. It has been a while since I've been on Spirit Radio, but you know, I think barbecue food, you know, good food, barbecue food tastes so much better when it's cooked and eaten outdoors. I think you'll agree on that.
Big time.
Yeah, and it's barbecuing is a great way to cook as long as you follow the rules.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a couple of things we have to make sure. Obviously, first of all, we start at the very beginning, the cleaning of the barbecues. A lot of people are probably pulling out their barbecues and dusting them down as they see the fine weather. And also, with the current climate, a lot of people are now transforming their back gardens into their social area and looking at it more than ever. So, I think it's really important to make sure, first of all, that your barbecue, you give your barbecue a good service.
Sure.
You know, a really good tip on that would be to get the oven cleaner out and to take the metal grid that you're actually cooking your food on, clean that with some oven cleaner. If you don't have some oven cleaner, just a damp brush dipped in bread soda works really, really well too.
Okay.
Rinse that in warm, soapy water and you're good to go.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and then a lot of people, a lot of mistakes that we make would be that we would light the barbecue and it's too hot to put your food on.
Do you know that I think I've been experiencing that myself now in the last few weeks, so it's good to know that.
Well, we have two options, haven't we? We have gas barbecue, which is sort of like the safer bet.
Yeah, sure.
Because you can turn it on at any time with instant heat, and the heat is really, you can control the heat really well. You know, you can turn it up, turn it down. You can turn off one side of your gas barbecue, move your food over there if you think it's getting a little bit too well done. But the charcoal is like the king of barbecues, you know. So if you're really trying to perfect how to barbecue, give the wow factor, you got to go down the charcoal route. Do you barbecue with charcoal, Donald, or do you barbecue with gas?
So I'm a gas barbecue at home.
I'm
a gas man, I am indeed. And we got this lovely little number maybe a few years ago. And it is great, but I just, you're dead right. I don't really get that smoky flavour that, you know, you want with meat throughout it.
Well, that's why we have marinades and that's why we have relishes and all as well. So you don't have to go down that road. If you're going down that road, you know, a couple of tips. You know, I just charcoal all the time. I use the charcoal barbecue all the time. I even use the barbecue in the winter time. I just cook my meats on, my proteins on the barbecue, and then I'd, you know, bring it indoors then when it's cooked, and we'd have, you know, salads or we'd have whatever we'd have with it then, the accompaniments with that, sides or corn cobs or whatever. But I think if we're using charcoal, the trick to not burn your food and it's too hot is to light it well in advance. And you've got to light it like an hour to an hour and a half in advance. I know it's a little bit more planning, but I mean the flavours are just unreal. There's no comparison. And once you do it once, you'll do it again. And like, it doesn't have to be every day. It can be like, you know, planning out that you do it maybe, you know, a bank holiday weekend. You'll say, right, we'll take out the charcoal barbecue.
Sure.
And the charcoal barbecue kits are very inexpensive, and you know, they last a good while, a good few years. So yeah. So I mean, put tin foil at the bottom of your charcoal barbecue. That helps reflect the heat upwards. And put your charcoal, good quality charcoal in there, and I wouldn't use any fire lighters. This sort of, you know, the smell would permeate your food, so I'd use just like the old fashioned way of newspapers or dry kindling or tapers or something like that.
That's interesting.
Never use any petrol or anything like that on it, because it just it taints your food and it'll destroy your food, you know.
Of course, yeah, and just eliminate the whole purpose if you get in the charcoal barbecue in the first place, I guess.
Exactly. And then, and then the next thing is the safe handling the food.
Well, so I was going to ask you that.
You have your barbecue cleaned, you have your gas barbecue ready to go, your charcoal is now lighting. But you have to make sure that you practice safe handling. So safe handling, and as we all know, wash your hands. So we need to wash our hands, and also then to make sure that our food is safe. So if you're defrosting food, the rule of thumb would be take it out, say, the night before, out of your freezer, into the bottom shelf of your fridge, into a separate container, so there's no cross contamination. But ideally, it's 2 days, it's 48 hours to really make sure you're cutting out the risk that your food is fully defrosted. And that's a great tip, Donald, for, you know, if you see a special in the supermarket and if you're doing budget meals and you want to try and keep the cost low, it's great when you're in the supermarket, you see all these special deals, particularly on pork. Pork's very inexpensive, and you might see chicken drumsticks or chicken wings, and, you know, you might be having a barbecue for 2 or 3 weeks. You can buy them on special, put them in your freezer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're taking them out 2 days beforehand, so you're prepared, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg for, you know, what you're putting on the plate for your guests.
I know my mum's definitely been doing that for quite a while now. So yeah, it's great to hear that it's recommended from yourself as well, Charlo.
Yeah, also then when you're preparing your food, then you got to make sure that, you know, that you take your food. I love to take my food out half an hour before I'm going to use it, right?
Okay.
Just to take that fridge chill out of your food.
Mm.
And it also helps then that your food is not going onto your barbecue like ice cold.
Of course.
You just sort of bring it up to room temperature, get it onto the barbecue, and then start cooking, you know? And then also as well, you've got to make sure that you're handling, you know, if you're handling raw food, there's no cross-contamination of handling raw food and cooked food. And also, you know, the utensils you use down, like you'd have a tongs or, you know, or skewers, we make sure that we're not obviously coming in contact with raw food and cooked food as well. So there's a few little things like that we have to make sure that our housekeeping is right to practice a safe barbecuing, you know?
Of course, yeah, and it's super important. So I guess, you know, when we get started on the barbecue, would you have any recommendations for barbecue starters, first of all?
For starters, yeah. Well, I mean, look, I'm doing actually on the TV next Saturday. I'm on Virgin Media. I'm doing a lovely prawn taco.
Oof.
So I'm putting some prawns. You can buy these prawns in the supermarket, and they're already marinated.
Mm.
So I mean, it's about 200 grams. So you can put them on little skewers, and you can buy, you know, the small little tiny tortilla wraps, or the mini ones.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful. It's a small little salad, a little bit of sweet chili sauce, and it's a bit of mayonnaise and some coriander. Chop up the coriander, just mix it, 2 tablespoons of sweet chili sauce and 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise, a little bit of coriander, just a tiny little bit of salad, and grill these prawns, and then just place them into your taco. And you can toast the taco bread on the barbecue.
Oh, Jerry.
That's a really nice, fresh starter, you know, and that's really beautiful. And I mean, as you know, skewer prawns, like, I mean, a minute or two on either side, and they're done. So it's a real quick starter, very little prep.
Charlotte.
You're buying your sweet chili sauce, you have your mayonnaise, you know, you're talking about under 5 minutes, and you have a beautiful starter. All your guests are having a glass of nice chilled white wine, and you have a beautiful starter there, you know.
Jane.
And the kids then as well, obviously, you know, you're doing little mini hot dogs for the kids, you can get little mini cocktail sausages and get them going, a little bit of homemade ketchup, you know. So I have a beautiful homemade ketchup recipe here.
Yeah.
The listeners want to grab a pen there.
Mm.
I have just jotted down a beautiful, I used this actually with some recipes, and it's really, really good. Actually, I did a pork black pudding and pork sausage roll with some with red onion marmalade, and I served this beautiful homemade barbecue ketchup.
Mm.
So do you want me to give you the recipe?
Yeah, if you give it to quickly, because we can play it back on our podcast as well.
Yeah,
so
no, but
so
300 milliliters of tomato ketchup, then we're just going to spike that with 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 2 teaspoons of smoked paprika, and just 1/4 pint of red wine vinegar, and 50 mils of dark soya sauce.
Mm.
So set that reduced down, you have a kicking, cracking homemade ketchup barbecue
so
sauce.
Good. Jamie, this is dangerous. I haven't had breakfast yet, Charlo. You're really pumping it in for me. So I guess, are there any foods that you yourself you'd particularly recommend for barbecues?
Well, I suppose, the most popular ones are spare ribs. Spare ribs, beef burgers, hot dogs. And I heard you mention about a beef burger recipe.
Mm.
You're putting the cheese in the middle. Fantastic. Next time you're doing that, Donald, here's one to try.
Yeah.
Get some black pudding.
Yeah.
And get some red onion relish. A little teaspoon of red onion relish.
Yeah.
Up your black pudding, and then put close that with some minced meat.
Oh.
Try that the next time you do it. That's classic.
Oh, man.
I mean, food that's really, really good on barbecues, as we all know. I mean, chickens, turkey burgers, spare ribs, pork chops, pork ribs. I mean, it's just, the list goes on and on and on. And don't forget as well, vegetarian food. I mean, the halloumi cheese is fantastic to use. I use a lot of halloumi cheese on skewers, but, you know, red peppers and, you know, the list is endless. I mean, it's such a popular hobby to have if you can barbecue your food well. It's fantastic, you know.
Mm. Oh, Jamie, some of that stuff that you're talking to me about, the halloumi, that's a revolution to me.
An interesting rub that you can put on some of your meats, and it's a real easy rub. It's like a teaspoon of black peppercorns, all black peppercorns, a teaspoon of coriander seeds, and a teaspoon of cumin seeds. And if you just dry roast them on a pan, let them go cold, pop them into your pestle and mortar, and just, you know, grind them down to a powder. Little bit of I love using the chili rapeseed oil from Wicklow rapeseed oil. They do a nice chili scented rapeseed oil. Again, in a lot of supermarkets, make a little bit of a scented oil with the spices, and that's a lovely little rub or a marinade for chicken, for pork, for lamb. It's a beautiful, just the night before, pop your protein into a small amount of that, let it marinate, and then you have a fantastic, easy, and most of this stuff would be in your store cupboard anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a fantastic rub, and that rub is so universal for fish, you know, for all your protein, so it's great, you know.
I guess as well for people, something that's not really talked about as much, or maybe salads that go with barbecue dishes. Do you have any recommendations for particular, maybe one particular salad that you enjoy yourself?
I have one particular salad that's just like a knockout. It's a summer salad that's like a knockout. And, you know, you can buy cheap, really cheap corn to cobs in the supermarket. I would boil up the corn to cobs in some water in your kitchen. Then once they're fully cooked, take them out, pop them on your barbecue. Get them nice and barbecue flavor. Get the barbecue flavor going and the nice marks on them. Okay, and I think everyone's very impressed. You know, when they walk into a barbecue and they see like the food has all the nice marks on top of the food, like that's the real wow factor, you know.
Yeah.
And then I just have some nice. I mean, the salads you need to be going for is like, you know, some fresh avocado, some beetroots, grated carrots, and you're looking at the rainbow colors. You know, we're always told, you know, as we were growing up in school and all, eat the rainbow colors, but you need to have the rainbow colors for a barbecue. It's all vibrant colors, and then we get your corn, and then what you do, you just slice off the corn. Fresh corn from the corn, the cob away from the center, straight into your salad, and then dress that with. And what a cracking dressing I have here! And I said it to you before in the start of the interview, with a little bit of sweet chili sauce, with a little bit of mayonnaise, and a little bit of chopped coriander, and you just mix that together, mix that through your salad, and you've got the most amazing salad. And then that's great complement with all your proteins, you know. And it's really fresh, throw a bit of fresh coriander, as I said, slice a few chilies in there. Fantastic, you know. So I mean, you know, you sort of use your own imagination too as you go along. You find that down, like if you're home, you look in the press and you see you might have courgettes there, you end up grating courgettes into your salad, and you know, it's very important obviously to use up what you have, and we've no waste, you know.
Of course. Oh, Janie, Charlie, I'm going to take all these tips on board for myself anyway.
The biggest challenge when you're doing the barbecuing is to make sure your food is cooked thoroughly and all the way through. You know, that's one of the things, that if your barbecue is too hot, you put your food on too soon, especially charcoal, you know, the potential is you're looking at your food and you think your food is cooked, and it could be raw in the middle, you know, particularly with minced foods that you need to cook all the way through. So anything that's minced food or poultry, you have to make sure that it's cooked fully, the juices are running clear. The best way to do it, Donald, is to cut the actual product, cut it in the middle at the thickest part to make sure, you know, before you serve it to your guests. And also, when you're cooking your food, to make sure you turn your food and you move it around the barbecue, and you turn it frequently, move it around the barbecue. And you might think that it's cooked because it might look cooked on the outside. It might look a little bit burnt, but it could actually be raw in the middle. So you could be, you know, you want to obviously practice safe food, don't we, Donald? We want to make sure all our guests have a nice nosh, and then they go home and they're not ill.
Oh, 100%, yeah, exactly.
Food, you know?
Well, that's the thing with barbecues, being guests. Yeah, you got to make sure that you're not letting everyone go with food poisoning or something like that, for sure.
Yeah, that's it. And if you have a few people, as the phases are opened up with the government, you have if you're planning a barbecue and you're telling a few more people as we're allowed to, you know, look at a great tip is to look at pre-cooking some food and then placing on the barbecue to finish, and then to rub it with maybe a marinade. So if you have a marinade that the food has been marinating in, the raw food, make sure you boil that marinade. There's any sauce left over, and you know, there's no waste. You want to boil it up in a pot first, so you're killing any bacteria. Make sure it comes to a boil, and then you can take the pot off and use the pastry brush, and you can just brush your meat as you're just about to serve, you know. Brush a little off the top. So you just, what you're doing is you're practicing safe food practices all the time, and that's the whole thing. When I said at the very start, barbecuing is a great way to cook as long as you follow the rules. And unfortunately, when you're cooking outdoors, you know, your leftover food, and if you've leftover food, it has to, you know, if you cooked it, Donald, it can only, you know, stay out for an hour and a half to 2 hours max, and then it has to be refrigerated. You have to use that within 3 days. And then if you're reheating it, Donald, you only reheat it once, and you make sure it's piping hot. And you know the famous saying, Donald, if in doubt, throw it out.
Brilliant.
So I think that covers the whole range there of what we're trying to talk about today, some barbecue tips and all that. But I mean, it's the weather over the last week or two has been really, really great. I mean, it's dipped out the last day or two.
Yeah.
And it's certainly looking very promising for the summer. And I think the more people that can barbecue more, get the flavours and the relishes and chutneys into their diet, it'd be fantastic, you know.
That's brilliant. Charlo, thank you so much for coming on to talk to us. Really appreciate it. And just, you know, I'm starving now.
You can catch me, don't you? Can catch me on Virgin Media next Saturday. I'll be cooking sweet chilli prawn taco. I'm making my own taco bread on this live on the telly. So, catch, if you want any of the recipes, go to my Instagram account, Charlo the Chef. And I have a Facebook page and a website as well, Charlo the Chef. So anyone out there listening and want to get some recipes, check out my recipes. There's videos there as well on how to make the dishes. So I'll be posting up a few more barbecue ideas as well. So listen, thanks a million.
So you'll be on Virgin Media. When is that again?
I'm on Virgin Media next Saturday the 13th. From 10 o'clock onwards. Cooking with Simon Delaney in the kitchen. And I'm a guest chef there. So we have a bit of crack there.
That's great, Charlo. Thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Donald, I'll see you later. Thanks a million. It's a pleasure. And hello to everybody out there.
Sounds good. Have a good one now.
Happy barbecue and bye.
Bye now. So that was Charlo the Chef. Thanks so much for him cooking for us there and telling us about what's going on with the barbecue. And you can visit his website on www.charlothechef.com, or you can go to his Facebook and Instagram at Charlo the Chef.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.